Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of the usual recap of what happened last session, I think we're just going to say that last session, we hit a stopping point for the story being told, and now we're telling a new related story.
Yeah, I totes anticipate setting it up on a new campaign on the website and calling it A House Divided.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't planning on telling a big story about the Tremere Civil War or anything like that, so that might be poorly named, but whatever. You can call it whatever you want to.
For House and Clan Divided.
So fuck you.
He makes a strong argument.
He does make a strong
argument. Also, it's his website.
Yeah.
That's true. If Marius and Wolfgang were still both in play, we could totally call it A House Divided.
Guess what? I can and will anyway.
Okay. I accept that.
Wolfgang is still in the world somewhere.
He is. And we will talk a little bit about that soon. So, the first thing we need to start talking about before you guys start making characters is to figure out what time period in history we want to get into. We talked about fast-forwarding things to the point of the Anarch Revolt, when Sire uprose against, or when Child uprose against Sire, and the young stopped listening to the old, and everything was thrown into chaos, because that would be an excellent opportunity for Marius to say, F you to Clan Tremere, and go off on his own and make some new friends somewhere, and let you guys play other clans other than Tremere. Am I on the right page so far?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, cool. So, there's a few different periods of the Anarch Revolt that we can look at. Three in particular. One, the early revolt, the mid-1300s, right when it first kicks off. The Anarch Revolt is preceded by a lot of political squabbling between different houses, or between different cities, and then the Inquisition kicks off, and vampires start sending their child or two to kind of die in the flames for them. We went over this a lot last session, so I won't bore you guys too much more with it. A Bruja named Tyler infiltrates into the heart of the Holy Roman Empire, and on New Year's Eve, I think it's 1338, but I could be wrong, attacks, kills, diablerizes, no one's quite sure, this super important, super powerful venture named Hardestad, who has been kind of the core of the Holy Roman Empire. He's been holding it together by force of will and control of his mortal pawns. Big, powerful venture guy. And this kicks off the violence of the Anarch Revolt, where a whole bunch of younger vampires start freaking out and going against their sires. If you guys want to play in this period, the Anarchs are very loose and unorganized. The mainstay of the Anarchs are Bruja and Lysandra and Chamise, and there's a lot of other clans that can kind of get salt and peppered in there as we want to. And the Asimites start to get involved by taking contracts from the so-called Anarchs to go kill elders for them when the elders are too powerful for them to kill on their own. So that's the early revolt. Everything's really crazy. The mid-revolt, kind of the mainstay of the revolt in the late 1300s, early 1400s, the Anarchs have self-organized. They've got leadership. Two eldest have been destroyed. The Lysandra Antediluvian and the Chamise Antediluvian have both been destroyed by their childer as part of this revolt, and it has been a powerful blow to the cause of elders everywhere, because these were two high clans that were kind of intermixed with the others, and their elders have basically gone into hiding, because if the eldest can die, any of them can die. Mm-hmm. So they've gone into hiding. The backs of two major clans are broken all throughout Europe, leaving the Venture to basically pick up all the pieces, and the Venture are in chaos. At this point, most of the other clans throw into the Anarch Revolt as well. Most Childer, just about any clan throw into the revolt. This is when a large number of Tremere join the revolt. So it's in theory, Marius could have been a part of the revolt from the beginning, in one way or another. But this is officially when Goratrix and his group disappear from Vienna and make their own way. And then there's the Late Revolt. Late Revolt, the elders have all conglomerated back together. They have made some power plays. They have crippled the Asimites and the Tremere that broke off have had some sort of magical thing done to them that's really broken some of their potency as well. And the elders get together and form this organization they call the Camarilla. They say that the entire reason behind the Anarch Revolt is done. We're no longer throwing child against sire, we're no longer throwing our children to the flames of the jihad, clan will no longer fight against clan, we'll all come together and we agree to the problems that you've set forth. All you have to do is give us all the terrible Diablerists, and all is forgiven. The vampires that aren't the terrible Diablerists, in general, join up. They say, okay, and the Anarch Revolt as it is stops. Most of the ones that would have been tried and killed for war crimes under the new Camarilla laws form an organization they call the Sabbat, and it forms within 5 or 10 years of the Camarilla's formation. And they get together and they say, for mutual protection, we reject the entire concept of age as power. Power is power, and we are going to build an organization around that exactly. Playing an anarch during this time period is essentially saying, I agreed with the formation of the revolt, but I disagree with this concept of power for its own sake. You guys have gone a step too far, and you are off on your own by yourself. You don't have any support because there's no more anarchs to support you. If you said no to the anarchs, or excuse me, said no to the Sabbat and said no to the Camarilla, you are persona non grata everywhere. So, do you want a somewhat turbulent world, a very divided world at war, or do you want to be the three of you against the world? Those are kind of the three ways to break it down.
I am pro, I guess, early anarchs. I like the idea of not having an official affiliation, just we might run into other groups to kind of share a philosophy.
Okay.
And I like the idea of the Inquisition being in full swing. Like, Inquisitors are a very real danger to us.
I'm just wondering how I would play that with Marius. He'd be part of the early Anarch Revolt, meaning he'd have to still have some sort of guidance within the Tremere for that, right?
You could have broken from the Tremere early on in the revolt.
And just said, screw these guys?
Yeah.
You could have broken from the Tremere pre-revolt, right?
I also have no difficulty kind of playing around a little bit loosely with timelines. There's some interesting things I want to do with Goratrix in all of this. He's kind of a cool character in the White Wolf history.
Yep.
So he'll kind of, no matter what time period we're doing this in, he is going to replace Celestine as your mentor dots.
Okay.
On your sheet.
Okay. Yeah, not a problem then. Early. I say early. Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's early and Goratrix is your mentor, it could be a situation where he's still part of the Tremere, right? And he's just...
I've been directly apprenticed under FM. He's just basically taken me from...
We'll get to that.
Okay.
I'm not too worried about that.
Okay.
The next thing we need to talk about. So we're going to do early revolt. We're going to do mid-1300s. So we're talking about 100 years worth of downtime. For Marius, anyway.
Yep. It's about 100 years. Okay.
The next thing we want to talk about, you guys had some concerns about one of the concepts built into the late revolt, this idea of the Baldry, the ritual that kind of gives everybody a little bit of a mutual bond to each other. I'm going to put on the table and let you guys do as you will with this particular piece of information. The conversation that you two were having before we turned the mic on about this other group and some of the disconnect that's going on with it, like they don't have a lot of reason to work together. The existence of the Baldry is specifically an in-game resource to help mitigate that, to give characters a reason to have some sort of connection to each other outside of, well, I don't trust you and I don't trust you.
Right, but I guess I feel like we banded together because we share the same philosophy in this instance.
Sure.
Like, we didn't fall into this organization. It was an active choice on our part to forsake, you know, our sires and everything we know to revolution.
All right. Fair enough. To that end, my next question is then, how do you folks want to have met up with each other? Taking for granted that at this point Marius has broken with Clan Tremere as far as he or any other Tremere is concerned. If he runs into other Tremere and they recognize him, they're going to be hunting him. You're not just persona non grata, you have a black mark. Like they're actively looking to kill you if they find you.
In the early part?
Yes. So this is just a Tremere thing. Full stop. Gotcha. If you're a Tremere and you leave the pyramid, they come after you. They are either going to mind wipe you and make you into a blood mixer, or they are going to straight up kill you. And because of Marius's history, his history perhaps unknown to him still at this point, of being an experiment for the clan, they'll just call the experiment bad and kill you because it's safer to do that than to let you out.
Okay.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that there are active assassins out there looking for you, but if there's Tremere in town and they get a look at you and they recognize you, understand that they're going to be coming after you.
Okay. Understandable.
So with that in mind, what do you guys have in mind for how these characters began to interact with each other, taking for granted that you all have a basic concept?
Well, clearly,
I think you all do at this
clearly point. We meet in a bar.
Well, I was specifically thinking...
Marius is whore-mongering.
if I got my dominate popped,
I would remember, well, you know, whoremonger pot. Yeah. I would remember the 50 years of being tortured and stuff like that. And that's when I say, the Tremere, I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah. But not necessarily where I'm going to go out, but I'm going to be smart enough to realize that I need to get my stuff together before I just completely walk away. So trying to hold it together, that's going to be a little bit of a struggle there. I don't know how we want
to
resolve that.
So should we talk about what's happening to Marius before we talk about how the three of you meet? Would that be easier for you to fill that in specifically?
Well, a specific thing
that I can do a bit of fast-forwarding here.
I was going to go and specifically look for my old master, the Shamase, to see what's going on there. And I was thinking maybe that's where I could meet Nick's character in that search.
Okay. In terms of timetable.
Yeah.
When last we saw Marius, he was being transferred away from the Chantry. Celestine said, I got your back. You're being transferred away from Colmar.
Yes.
You get transferred out to a frontline Chantry out on the edges of the Crusades in the Crusader Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Just east of the Ottoman Empire.
Okay.
While you are out there, you participate in the defense of a castle under siege.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. It's in the area. You were specifically told not to get involved, but there's fighting going on. And you take it upon yourself to make an example of how useful the Tremere are in combat.
Yes.
That seems to be a thing that Marius does. And yes. You participate in the defense of this keep during the siege, and a whole section of castle collapses on you, and you spend the next 50 years in torpor. So, we can do a little bit of fast-forwarding with that. When you are found, so the crusade ends. It's one of the bloodiest crusades in history, as opposed to real-life history, where it was kind of meek and crappy. Yeah. But in the next 50 years, there's a lot of European work to reach out and find a lot of these forgotten kingdoms that kind of got lost in the Crusades and plunder them.
Okay.
The Tremere are big into this, and so are some of the other clans. You are found, luckily for you, by a group of Tremere, because there was a Chantry here and they're trying to recover it. They are part of Goratrix's expeditionary organizations that are heading out to the edges of the known world to go look for keen and interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
You are found and you are sent back. You are still in torpor when you're sent back. As you are nursed back to health and kind of reassembled from the broken husk of a being that you are, you're ministered by not specifically Goratrix himself, but a couple of his lessers, who they don't know much about you except that you are of Tremere blood, and evidently at one point you were important to Celestine. So you're on the radar.
Okay.
As they put you back together and you regain consciousness, they begin speaking with you. Unbeknownst to you, they're dominating the hell out of you during these conversations to figure out what was going on, and they find your dominate blocks. They find, whoa, what's going on? This guy's all mixed all to hell. God, who did this to him? We don't know. We can't figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Goratrix has stopped communicating regularly with the rest of the council, so he doesn't bother to ask.
Okay.
He just says, well, I'm super awesome. I'm super badass Tremere guy. Come here, we'll talk. And he totally just walks down, looks you in the eye, and shatters through all of your dominate blocks, and everything floods back to you all at once. He doesn't realize what he's done until he's done it.
But of course, he's asking me that.
He's asking you these questions, and you are aware of the responses, because what he's told you is that you've got these blocks on your mind. Someone did something to you before this keep fell. We think that someone has been stealing secrets from Clan Tremere, and they might have tried to hide what they did in your head. You might still have some evidence as to what happened. So, we're going to get it all out.
Okay.
And instead, you start babbling about, you know, the years of torture, them, you know, flesh crafting around with you and playing with you as a revenant before you were finally embraced as a member of Clan Tremere.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, some of the memories that come back lead to an idea that you may have been a part of some of the original experiments that led to the creation of the Gargoyle.
Okay.
Bloodline.
Nice.
That your blood was used on Tremere and Tremere ghouls, because you were a ghoul, but you sustained your own blood. They didn't understand how that worked.
Yep.
So they used your blood on ghouls to see what would happen, and had a very adverse effect on them, and just kind of turned them into these horrible, hideous monsters. And that may have been some of the first sparks of creating the gargoyles.
Hmm.
But in any case, kind of to your surprise, you find that you're not being dominated to forget these things again. And Goratrix, he's not outraged. He doesn't seem surprised by any of this. But he does communicate with you that essentially he thinks that you've been given a shit call.
And yes.
You know, this is the worst of possible turns that could happen. You had your life and your destiny taken away from you by a group of people who decided that they knew better. And this is against the point of why the Tremere were created. We created ourselves as vampires to take a hold of our own destiny, not to take a hold of others' destinies and ruin them. So this isn't acceptable. This isn't fair. Let's give you a fair shake. We have a chance to do this now. Let's give you what it is that you need.
And Marius comes on board with Goratrix.
And the way that Goratrix wants you to come on board is he's one of the original formulators of this power of the pyramid ritual that you remember from the first
game.
He's
the top, yeah, other than Tremere himself.
Tremere is the top. He and the six other counselors are the rung below Tremere. And all of you are bloodbound to the council.
Him.
Among other people.
Yeah.
Right, him and the other six counselors. So he's come to regret helping create that ritual, and he's looking for a way to unweave it. And he wants you to be a part of his experiments to unweave that ritual. He wants to disbind you from the council so you can be free again.
Yes.
Because you still have this bond to the council that will never ever fade.
Yes.
So, yeah. Nothing's come of it yet, but this is the connection that you have to Tremere. Every once in a while, or to Goratrix, rather. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, he'll contact you, and he's constantly on the move. But every once in a while, he will contact you, and he will say, come back to wherever, you know, come to here, come to wherever, and we're going to try the next iteration of this ritual to try and break through what's happening to you. So that means that you've got about 60 years of uptime that you could have been building yourself and doing things. The Anarch Revolt has just started in the last 10 years, so you've essentially been on your own for about 50 years before the revolt starts. As the Inquisition starts to grind into purpose, vampires need to go to ground more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not given any sort of assignments by Goratrix or by his cronies unless you ask for them. He doesn't ever say, this is what I need from you, this is what I want you to do. You are your own man unless you need something from them or they specifically need something from you.
Okay.
So, you've got, at this point, with 60 years of uptime, I'm going to give you 50 experience points to play with as you will.
Okay.
My suggestion for how you spend those, because when people spend XP all at once, they tend to just buy one thing really far up. What I found really helps is divide that experience into three groups, and you can make those sizes whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Put one into attributes, put the other into abilities, and put the other into disciplines.
Okay.
And that way, because when you're playing in character, you'll do things like say, oh man, while I'm hanging out in Colmar, I really need to learn more about finances because I'm the guy that they're leaning on to get finances taken care of. So, okay, I guess I'm going to buy a couple of dots of finance. When you're spending XP all at once, not so much. You're like, man, I really want to get 5 dots of Dominate. I'm going to buy all that right now. And you've got a crappy Dominate pool, but you've got 5 dots of Dominate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think with that, I will spend my time focusing on my study, specifically trying to go back and see if I could connect, so somehow like ritual the kindred sire or something like researching that stuff to see if there's some way I can use the blood to go and find my old master.
So you've already bought your occult up, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you're going to find out, you're going to end up doing a lot of research, not a lot of magical research, but just occult research.
Mm-hmm.
What you find out is that the families, like the Bradovich family that you belong to, in general, are vampires at one point way back in history. Shaughnessy made ghouls and then used some sort of weird flesh-crafting ritual, something, you don't know what,
mm-hmm.
to have their ghouls breed true more ghouls. Usually ghouls are sterile. Right?
Yes.
They figured out a way to either get ghouls to breed with each other or to breed with normal humans and then have a ghoul be born of that. That ghoul just makes itself a new blood point every night in terms of game mechanics. It refreshes a blood point to its pool once per night.
Okay.
Or vitae to its pool. They've still got 10 blood points like a normal human, but one of those becomes a vitae, and then they can power disciplines with them. So you didn't have a specific master.
Gotcha.
The way the Shaughnessy work is they made these big families of Revenant clans, and because the Shaughnessy were so powerful with presence, and they knew how to twinge presence, like any given Shaughnessy could basically say, with a blood bond or with presence, you are going to feel filial love for me. You're going to look at me as your father, and you are going to look at me as your lover, and you are going to look at me as a child, and they could just control how each person felt towards them with these emotional manipulations. They didn't need the blood bond and make do anything else to these Revenant families. They would just show up, pop Majesty, and say, we're going to war, and the Revenant families would cheer and grab their weapons and go. That's okay. How you got thrown against the Tremere. So we'll say that you spent maybe 20 years wandering back through what used to be Chamisse-controlled lands in western Germany, trying to find where you came from, and finding the actual old farmstead where your family used to live, because you actually were not a child of nobility, as it turns out.
That is probably where our characters met then.
Perfect. Yeah. So, because he's wandering the old lands. This is still at a point where the Chamisse have contracted as a clan, so we're kind of moving from Marius on into Nick's new character. The Chamisse have contracted as a clan, like we talked about a little bit in the last sessions. There was a big meeting of the leaders of the clan where they all said, we're going home. We're going back to the mountains that our eldest calls home, and we're going to go do a thing. And it's very mysterious, and a lot of the younger Chamisse said, no, I really feel no need to follow you. I've got things brewing here.
Like, this is my home. I was born here. I've never been that other place.
Right. I have no interest in going there. So it's certainly possible that you just stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed behind. And from the background that you wrote up for the character, turns out Chamisse changing genders, really, really normal. Happens all the time. So absolutely no problem with that. You're going to need three dots of fleshcraft, or three dots of no vicissitude problem. To be able to do it well.
Yep.
Two dots will let you do you know, a weekend boob job. But if you want to actually change your physiology.
That was planning on taking three dots. And actually, because I guess I'm picking she and sticking with it.
Sure, that's fine.
Also wants to, like, be like a mythical giant. So I intend to take the massive stature thing and be like...
The huge size merit.
Yeah.
So you're like this... You're Brienne of Tarth. That's what you're making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Legit. This big, ugly warrior woman who will just kill everyone in front of her.
I guess...
Or do you plan on being a big, pretty warrior woman who kills everything in front of you?
Make my own face. I guess, in my mind, the character is sort of modeling herself after, like, Norse giants or gods like Freya or something.
Okay. So she's tall, fair-skinned, clear-eyed, like blonde plaited hair in big rows.
That's good, because a point of note, I also got my theology from
Norse theology. Yep,
Old Crow. So I know Old. Sure. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Okay. So
that ties in the past.
While you're looking at how you want to start spending dots, Nick, let's start talking about where you're coming from. So, northwestern Germany. Somewhere is where you'd made your home. You know that the rest of the clan had kind of left to go back east, back to the land over the mountain, to the other side of the forests. You've stayed. Is your idea that you've stayed with any other Chamisse, or that you've just let your clan abandon you, and you've abandoned your clan to just stay by yourself?
Yeah, pretty much I want no part. Like, I didn't ask to be in race. I don't agree with the Chamisse philosophy.
What do you see the Chamisse philosophy being that you disagree with?
My understanding of the Chamisse is that they are all about, I guess, noble hierarchy, like, in terms of bloodlines, like, you're the son of this guy, so you're better than everyone else, you're destined to rule.
Sure.
I guess my character goes into more of a sabbat thing, with, like, merit makes you rule, and has the very unique theological view that basically gods exist, and they are powerful vampires or powerful mages or whatever else that just transcended into something more.
Sure.
So that's her end goal. Like,
have you read at all about the paths of morality in the back of the book?
I did look at them. Okay. The only one I can
go ahead.
The only one I kind of thought would be good was the Path of the Night one.
Turns out what you are describing is exactly Path of Metamorphosis, which is the Chamisse path of philosophy. It's still in development at this point in history. It doesn't exist as a path yet. That's off camera. That's what the Chamisse are all doing up north by themselves. They're completely reinventing themselves as a clan.
Right.
Which gets interrupted by Lugaj, one of the fourth generation members of the family, destroying the eldest. And everything gets thrown into chaos.
It seems... But their way of going about it seems horrific, from what I understand. Like,
it is. It absolutely is. It's completely inhuman. They don't... One of the tenets of the path is that you don't share information. The only way to truly learn something is to experience it firsthand. So they're like, they're all antisocial. They won't even tell you what the time of day is, because if you can't go outside and look and tell me what the time of day is, you're stupid.
Right.
So
if it's daytime, you're screwed.
Right. It makes for really, really antisocial characters. So it's not going to be good for this kind of thing.
And I mean, I guess my understanding of this job will say is like they give themselves fucking head tentacles and eight arms and shit. In case I want to hold eight things.
They're constantly striving to make themselves better. The end goal is to transcend and become something more than vampires. They just don't know how to do it because they can't share any information with each other. They're all scientists with no journals to publish in.
Right.
So they're all just redoing the same experiments over and over again.
My human is going for it, using vampire power to become the uber human.
Sure. Which is fine. Right. And it's something that the rest of the Shaughnessy, even before this path was fully founded, would have difficulty with. You don't want to be a better human. You want to stop being human. And you're like, no, you guys are wrong. I'd rather be a better human. I want to go back out during the day. You know, I want to do these things that I can't do anymore. We're weak, and I'd like to be strong again.
Yep.
Sure. So yeah, absolutely. You've had a falling out with the rest of your clan. You don't have a lot of attachment to their hierarchy or their sense of noblesse oblige. How long do you see yourself as been active?
I have no idea.
Okay. So picking up three dots of vicissitude and then a few dots of flesh crafting specifically to teach yourself how to remold flesh is no easy feat. So you're probably going to want at least 25 years of activity.
I imagine being a reasonably old vampire.
Okay. How much interaction with the rest of the clan before they contracted do you want to have had? Like, do you want to have been some lesser scion of a side line whose job it was to watch over this small piece of the country, and you had to send three mortals to go be bred to ghouls off somewhere else every year, or they'd come and yell at you, and that was your job?
Just some shit, yeah, like a corner job. Yeah, I imagine my character was nothing important.
You were Niccolo Machiavelli. You were a clerk somewhere who was trying to impress some noble lord. Alright. So, let's assume that you've been active for around 100 years.
Okay.
At this point. This gives you enough time to have seen two sides of the clan when they were very active and expansionistic, and trying to regain old glory, basically. And then see this contraction where the elders just kind of very sadly said, we're giving up what we had, we're giving up our lands, we're leaving. There's better places for us. There's better things for us to do.
And I definitely agree more with the first philosophy. Like, you don't give up your glory. You take it back.
Alright. So, with 100 years of activity, do you see yourself having any major periods of downtime? Have you gotten so depressed that you've just fallen into torpor and slept some years away?
No, I think my character's very active, going out and doing things and training. Like, I imagine someone not particularly smart, but very physical.
Sure. Like,
not only, like, you know, flesh crafting herself to be physically better, but actually training with weapons and learning things.
Okay. And to be clear, using flesh craft for the most part, there's a couple of options for how you can make yourself better with it. One is to actually take dots out of one physical attribute and put them into another, mm-hmm. so you don't gain anything out of it. Right. And the other is, this is just a rationale for me to spend experience.
Right.
Like, I'm building up muscle mass by scooping muscles out of cattle or something like that and crafting them into my body so I have more mass. Okay, you can spend some XP to integrate that into your body and to become stronger. So, sure. Alright, let's give you... I'm interested to see where you're going to go with this. I'd like to give you a full 100 XP.
Okay.
To see what you're going to do with this.
So I spend all the starting dots and then start spending...
Correct, and then spend the XP afterwards. So starting dots first. The big question I want you to be thinking about, your clan fly is you have to sleep in double handful of earth from your homeland. There is a Shaughnessy-specific flaw that you have to sleep in a double handful of earth from the lands north of the Carpathians, where the eldest sleeps. I'm going to recommend that you don't take that flaw.
Okay.
I'm mentioning it's there if you decide...
I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, it's a thing that you could choose to take if you want to have a very, very difficult existence, because that's hard to come by unless you specifically go there.
Yeah, I actually had a thought on the client weakness that my character has, like, a lucky coat or something that actually just has patches of earth just sewn in.
Absolutely.
Like, hidden pockets.
That's fine. It just means that if you get into a fight and somebody, like, cuts through your coat, dirt's going to come spilling out of it. And when the fight's over, you're going to be spending a couple of rounds piling all your dirt back together. Yeah. It's my earth!
Yeah.
My earth!
I imagine, unless we're traveling around constantly, I probably have a secret stash somewhere, too. You know,
I have no idea where you guys are going to end up at this point. I really don't, so I'm excited.
You mean you can't predict what's going to happen?
Yeah, I know. No, not with you guys. You've made that clear. Good job.
Yeah, that's your job.
Be thinking about how you want to range around, what your interests are in. Do you have any interest in leaving this one small town that you chose to stay in to get anywhere else?
I imagine when Marius comes by, I'm going to see him as someone who has more of a plan than me. Like, my character has a lot of goals, but not really a plan to enact them.
Okay.
Sort of sitting around like, this is what I want, I should do this. It's like, whoa, this guy's actually traveling and doing things.
Alright.
Independent. I'm gonna follow him.
So we can talk a little bit about those first few interactions in a minute here, but before we do that, while you're starting to put your first few dots for character creation on the page, Bill, let's talk about where you fit in to all of this.
Sure.
You've been thinking about a Bruja concept.
I've been thinking about a Bruja concept. It occurred to me as I was sitting here thinking about it while you guys were talking, that what I have independently come up with is basically a less ash-holeless peers, with a little more fighting. So
not peers at all, then.
Yeah.
The only similarity there is it sounds like you're going to have some social in your character.
Yeah. Okay.
So I wouldn't worry too much about
that. We need that.
Yeah. What, you can't fleshcraft yourself some social? Yeah. Look, now I'm pretty.
There's a fleshcraft power that lets me stab someone with their own ribcage.
That's different.
You can make yourself prettier. It's a diff-9 check, but every success gives you one temporary dot of appearance.
I know. I plan on putting some dots of appearance here.
So, I was thinking about a Bruja concept, and basically, Lars was a highwayman, and he attempted to rob the wrong person, and the Bruja, that is his elder, liked the pluck in Lars, and instead of just murdering him, actually embraced him and brought him along. He's probably not, you know, he's probably somewhere between 30 and 50 years, I would guess.
Okay.
Like, still relatively young. And basically, like, has broken away from his sire, in that none of the, you know, the activities that was going on, you know, maybe he was associated a little bit with what's his name from Mulhouse.
Right?
Luscious was somehow tangentially associated with Lars's sire.
You certainly could be part of his bloodline.
Yeah. I mean,
every vampire is related to another vampire.
Right.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. So maybe Lars was not terribly intrigued by kingmaking in Colmar. And
sure.
And was like, peace.
Like saying kingmaking in Two Dot Montana.
Right. But, yeah. Exactly. Right. So Lars took out on the road and went back to what he knew best, which is highwaymanning.
Okay.
Which I'm making a verb and I'm going to say a lot and fuck you all.
I'm in.
100% with the fucker.
Put your pants back on, Nick. Jesus. It's not that kind of game.
It is now.
I think it is.
He's playing a transvestite.
You can't predict this.
A post-op transvestite.
Right.
The op is magic, so I don't know where that counts.
And you can go back and forth as you see fit.
Right.
It does take more effort. You can't just concentrate and then pop. Your innie becomes an outie, but... Yeah.
Takes a little more concentration than that.
Let that image roll around in your mind a little bit.
Yeah. Vampire Viagra.
Keep me warm in lonely nights.
Yeah.
Well, you are. Your wife doesn't listen to these, does she?
No.
You could just.
That's why she's still my wife.
You could just give yourself both. Actually,
I could.
Yeah.
Like in a pouch, like a kangaroo.
That's a thing you can do.
Reach in here.
I flush crafted this box. Guess what's in the box? Step one: take a box.
Step one: flush craft a box.
Right.
Okay. So, basically, he just, you know, he probably spends 20 or 30 years, you know, bumming around Mulhouse with Lucius and being terribly bored waiting for this fucking war to start. And,
right.
Strikes out back on his own and...
Then after that, wouldn't you know it, the war starts.
Yeah, right.
But why go back?
It's always that way, right? Yeah. You know? So he's just out highway manning, and maybe he tries to stick these two up.
Okay.
One day.
And finds their vampire. He's like, wait, the last time this happened, I got turned into a vampire. That doesn't get to work again, so instead, right. I'm putting my knife down.
Right. Right. I don't have a terribly complex backstory for him past that.
That's fine. I mean, that's a fine start for a character. I like the idea of you being at least tangentially related to some of my old plots, so I don't have to completely flush them down the goddamn toilet.
You're welcome.
Thank you. If you want to be a grandchild of Lucius Quintilis, that would make you 8th generation. By the way, Nick and Bill, you guys are going to have to buy your Dotson generation with background points.
Yeah.
So you are starting with 0 dots, you will be 12th generation. Every dot you put in will put you 1 generation down. You can put a maximum of 5 dots in. I'm going to run to the bathroom really quick. You could be more than 1 generation down from Lucius's childer. We can figure that out.
Yeah.
You should be Lucius's sire.
Nice. Lucius's daddy. Yeah. I was disappointed with him, so I just left.
You're now generation 3.
That's right. I wonder what Dotson generation cost. I could look it up, but this book is 500 fucking pages. I'm just going to wait for Evan to come back from
You get to start off with a 5.
PDF actually has really fantastic bookmarks.
It does, but I don't know from the section. I guess I could just go to character creation process. Okay, fine.
yeah, that works.
So far I have distributed my attributes. I went physical, primary, social, secondary, mental, tertiary.
Stamina, nice. Okay, with a specialty in what?
Tough as nails.
Nice.
Also, when I start spending my actual XP, I'll probably buy strength up to 4, too.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I need to go physical, social, mental. Maybe social, physical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you might be
social
better off there.
Because if he focuses on physical, you focus on social, I'll focus on mental.
Yeah.
Because I have to buy all my stuff here.
Physical. Physical.
Tributes are
expensive. I need to go look at... Sorry, attributes. I need to go look at presence. What are the things that make presence?
I think manipulation is the big one.
Charisma performance. Charisma intimidation.
Or I'm just a fucking dumbass.
I didn't want to say it. Appearance empathy. So let's see.
I can make you pretty.
Have a soda over there?
Negative.
I swear to God, I brought a soda. So weird.
Did you leave it at the other game table?
So you're going to try to rob us?
Yeah, totally.
Ready for this?
Da-na-na.
So, to be a good Tremere, I need intelligence, occult, and...
Thaum.
Bill, I'm hopping past you.
Okay. Jump.
Seriously, you waited for me to get your shit out there and go get it from John.
Damn. This isn't going to work.
No.
To be fair, I was pulling out my wallet looking for it when you were telling me this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes it all better.
I need to put a dot in academics to be able to read, right?
Yes.
That might be a thing that happens. Oh shit, I need to put a lot in medicine. Because that's fleshcraft.
Fleshcraft is actually a craft skill. It is not medicine.
That's not what it says in the book.
Oh, is book saying it's medicine now? I'm used to the older editions of this book where it was a subschool of crafts.
Right, it says that, like a lot of shamans say, take the medicine specialty, fleshcraft. Let's take a look.
Thank you.
Yep.
Legit, it's medicine. Actually, that makes a lot more sense in the old system. I like that.
Okay.
So, yes, you want to have a decent amount of medicine to make your creepy shit work.
Probably
4 dots of medicine.
Okay.
Which is...
I want to just cut to the straight point. Can I beg for 5 extra more experience points?
Why?
So I can make it look pretty. That's what I need to do everything that I want.
What are you missing? Don't make a point. Don't make a case for XP. Make a case for what you're missing.
So I wanted to get my 6th dot in Path of Blood, and I am at 20 right now. I need 25 to get it.
He's really not making the case.
No, I'm just...
I'm super excited that's a thing that you don't have yet, but you've been searching for, and that's a thing that you can achieve in the next couple of sessions. You've been off on your own without direct tutelage from a master. Going from the 5th to 6th dot of a discipline is insane.
Really?
It's a super huge deal.
Oh, well then, I can make this happen. I don't know if I want to do that, though. So the 6th dot of a cult is a super big deal as well? Or not as big as...
Not as big as... it. So 6th dot in discipline is a huge deal. 6th dot in attributes and abilities simply informs that you have superhuman capabilities there. So 6th dot in a cult means that you know more than any human possibly could about the occult world. You are an expert. You are beyond an expert in the occult world.
Okay. I have 1 experience point left. Then. I'll do that. Okay.
Well, a lot of my XP is going to get spent on medicine. Is the thing that needs to happen so I can properly fleshcraft you guys into being prettier.
Yep. I will take my 6th dot and thumb then.
Wasn't his point that it would be cool if you waited?
Don't take your 6th dot and thumb yet.
Fine.
What you say and what Brandon views
I know.
Is...
Fine. 16, 36. Take the 6th out.
Just having animalism makes it so animals aren't afraid of me, right?
Yes.
Because I totally plan on having a horse and possibly a raven.
Okay. Gould.
Yeah.
Because ghoul all the things.
Take dots and retain them.
Yeah. Because I think animalism lets me project my senses into an animal. So if I can just...
At animalism 4, you can subsume the spirit and jump into animals.
So if I can put my brain into a raven and...
Fly around.
Yeah, go.
Yep.
The more I talk about it, the more it seems like my character's inspired by Game of Thrones. But it wasn't at all.
Whatever, you gotta find your inspiration somewhere.
Maybe subconsciously.
And you're not just making a single character from Game of Thrones. I don't mind that you are grabbing some of the concepts out of that. Because that's just recycled other fantasy.
Right.
Martin's just done a very good job with it, so. Whatever. Instead of spending XP on backgrounds, let's talk about some of the backgrounds that you guys want to have. Because that's a thing that can be explored during gameplay as well. Like, now that I've said you have to spend XP on a horse and a raven, never mind. You can just put 2 dots into retainers and have a horse and a raven.
That's right. That reminds me. Chaucy.
Yeah?
What happened to him?
I don't know. What happened to Chaucy?
Is he your child now?
My inclination is to say he died in the Crusader Kingdoms.
That's what I'm thinking, because he'd be sticking around, but then...
No, specifically, in the siege. Rocks fall, the party dies. Chaucy is killed in the siege.
Right. Turns out he doesn't go into Torpor. He just dies.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, he's laying there with a broken leg, he's frantically trying to find you, and the Saracens overrun the place and gut him. Right. And he bleeds out and dies. Unless you have a, like, compelling, cool story around keeping him around.
No.
Okay. It's a dark world. People die.
I get 2 free dots in retainer. Instead of starting the game, I find a horse and put blood in.
Yeah.
Gone.
Look, I'm learning. If you'd like to start with a lantern, I won't make you roll for it either.
I don't even know what's going on anymore. I didn't sign up for you being nice to this asshole. I want to be clear.
Oh, don't worry. He has no idea what he's getting into. This is too bad. I look forward to punching him. He's set to be humanish.
Did you just go Phantom Menace on us?
How much XP do I get? You didn't say that out loud.
No.
Zero.
You don't get any, fuck yeah. You.
You're a destroyed character.
Neonate.
Well, you're a bitch.
Sad face.
You said you wanted somewhere between 25 and 50 years on him?
Something like that.
35 is a good chunk to put into him. And, take a 4th dot to put into your starting disciplines. Instead of just starting with 3 free discipline dots, you can start with 4 free discipline dots.
Yep.
You are going to be a little bit behind on the power curve.
That's fine.
From these guys.
I think as players, we're all more concerned with the story rather than...
I know.
Nope.
That became absolutely clear when you guys looked each other in the eye last session and said, let's fuck this chicken. So
Yeah. We're more interested in the story than we are necessarily in power gaming.
Living.
I'm interested in winning.
I know. We all know you're interested in winning.
Mm-hmm. We're playing a Bruja now.
I did watch you punch a child over a game of checkers once.
It's funny you say that, because true story, when I was in junior high... I was at a chess tournament, and I really did punch somebody across the board once.
Wow. Why?
Because he beat me. And I had 4 impulse control.
There was no better reason than
nope.
That?
Okay. Nope.
Not even because he was smarmy about beating you?
Nope. I was having a bad day, and, you know.
Fair enough.
I had better impulse control now.
You know that junior high?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think anything you do at that age counts.
That's what I figure.
Like, you are the absolute worst of yourself at that age.
Probably true. The dead horses agree.
Okay, so I'm saving. I have 20 experience just sitting there. So I get 5 more, I can bump up to 6.
Fair warning, what you are going to need in addition to 5 more XP is some downtime with someone who can help you transition into Elder Level Thaumaturg.
Like Gortrix
or one of his cronies.
Okay.
Okay.
He's probably pretty happy that he found me, too. Turning my generation and stuff.
So, Gortrix is 4th generation. Turns out if he wanted some 6th gens, he can just make them.
Yeah, never mind.
Well, 7th gens.
He could make some children to make some children to make some children.
Right. Yeah.
It's a little more complicated to go down. Takes him a little longer.
And of course, in this version of Vampire, making a child basically costs you nothing.
Right.
As does making a ghoul.
Well,
turns out speaking of which, feeds your ghoul all the things bland.
Then, since I am going about the countryside and searching my past, I'm going to specifically search out to make a ghoul to protect me during the day and stuff.
Okay.
I'll just look for some man at arms. Or some rough-looking guy at the bar. It doesn't have to be anything special.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not going to put a big to-do on Chaucy. He's actually learned. He's taken some dots in intelligence.
Okay.
Yeah. Spent most of his XP in intelligence, in fact.
I'm a burpee.
It's a rough world, so... Ready to fight guy number 17.
As excited as I am to watch you bumble through embracing fight guy number 17.
Bumble through?
Not that you've bumbled through the creation of your last couple of ghouls.
Oh, they made one.
I know, but yeah. You tried more than once.
Oh, yeah. No, this... You know, he's straight up just going to go to the first...
And that's fine. Okay. It's fine. Don't tell me what he's going to do. Don't ruin this for me.
Okay. Well, you tell me. What did he do then?
successfully made a ghoul.
Okay. Good.
Because I fear what you were going to tell me is he goes up to the first guy who looks like he can wield a sword, punches him in the head, and forces blood down his throat.
Sounds good.
Yeah, don't you don't do that.
No, I dominate him. Tell him to drink it. And he likes it.
Your ghoul's name is Anton.
Sure.
I thought there was a thing about you can't dominate somebody into taking a blood bond. Like, is that specifically in there?
No.
Oh.
No, it's horrible.
There was something in there about something like that. I don't remember.
That's what your blood contract said.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
That forces
you can't dominate somebody into signing a blood contract. It has mm-hmm. to be their own free will. Blood bonds, not so much.
Do I want to put the dot into all space? It would be one dot ever.
Auspex?
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's even worthwhile to take it for just the one dot.
True story, Auspex is awesome. It adds one die to all of your... It lowers your difficulty by one for all of your perception goals that you're making.
But at the cost of his animalism or vicissitude, though.
That's true. How much animalism and vicissitude do you need?
Oh, at least three. I want at least three in each, which... probably going to be tricky.
That's a total of 30 experience to get to the third dot in each of those, which leaves you with 70.
Yeah, I know. You have a lot of experience this way.
I mean, if you want to go to five dots in one of those, it's going to cost you 50. Unless you spend freebie points on it. Pro tip, do not spend freebie points on disciplines. It's a terrible waste of XP. Or it's a terrible waste of freebies.
What's a freebie point?
Freebie point is one dot of a background, or seven freebies get you a dot of disciplines.
Oh.
It's should be on the bottom of your sheet. No, nope, it's not on the bottom of your sheet. Mm-hmm. Your sheet sucks.
My sheet sucks.
No, but he's on the page. You can see it right there. Finishing task, probably.
Ah.
For your soldier.
Yes.
Do you want him to be more socially able or more more quick-witted?
Quick-witted.
Okay.
So, conscience, conviction, self-control, instinct?
Scratch out conviction and instinct. You have conscience and self-control. You are on humanity.
Okay.
None of you are starting on a path of murder.
You said his name was Anton?
Anton, yep.
Anton, okay.
A-N-T-O-N, Anton.
All right, Tony, let's go.
Blood form is horrifying. The fifth dot of vicissitude, where you transform yourself into sentient blood.
Yeah, sentient ambulatory blood.
That's awesome. You should do it.
The crazy thing is you can just transform portions of yourself into blood.
Yeah. Yes, you can. You can transform just your abdomen into sentient vitae.
What's the max for attributes at this point? Is there one?
Depends on your generation. Character creation?
Yeah.
No more than four.
Okay.
And all your abilities are no more than three.
Until you spend freebies. Right.
Which is a thing that will happen very shortly.
Yeah. Alright, so let's take a look at Anton here.
So freebies is just 15 more dots anywhere on the sheet?
No. Those dots have different costs depending on where they go. A freebie, five freebies buys you another attribute dot. Two freebies gives you another ability dot. One freebie gives you another background dot, or virtue dot, or humanity dot, or willpower dot. Seven gives you another dot in a discipline.
There's one fucking copy of the book, and you have it sitting there doing
He's
that.
Got one open.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Okay. Sure.
Paper text.
Right. Dude, turn it over that way? Yeah. Don't turn, man. My bones don't work. My skeleton is just sentient blood.
You're getting way into this character.
Yeah. Pretty soon I'm going to start wearing her clothes.
There's the
and stilts.
There's the table of stuff.
I was thinking that you might want to take manipulation
or your background? Because you're more manipulative as a highwayman rather than charismatic?
I will allow either role as part of an intimidation check, depending on how you were trying to intimidate them. But the way that he had described this character previously, just like this kind of like engaging force of personality, he's not intimidating by holding a knife to your throat.
Yeah.
He's got an axe in his hand. And you've already gotten out of your carriage and you're trying to unhobble your horse because he's left small pebbles all over the road. And you're trying to pick the pebbles out of your horse's hoof. And he comes out from behind a tree with an axe and he's like, I noticed that you're bent over your horse. I could take three quick steps and bury this in your back.
Or
probably wouldn't die. And I think that's more terrifying than you dying because I promise you, I'll just leave you here. So, why don't you drop your coin purse and then you can continue on with your horse. And I'm going to leave. Or I'll leave you screaming in the middle of the woods, asking for help, and I will take your horse and your carriage and all of your goods and kick salt into your ears. Charisma intimidate. That's fine.
He really means it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Legitimately, this is what's going to happen to me.
A thing is going to go down.
How bad is it to just dump all five of my background dots into generation?
That's fine. Be 7th gen. Do it.
8th gen.
No, because you're starting at 12th, and the book assumes that you're starting at 13th. But you're starting further back in history. 13th gens are an anomaly right now. There's not a lot of them out there. If you would like to take a flaw, you could start at 13th gen, but then taking dots in generation would be stupid. So.
Yeah. So you started off at 13, you just diabolized your way up to 7th.
My character probably has committed diablerie.
Okay.
Nah. I'm sending you a soul to Valhalla. It's in my belly.
Legit.
Nice.
Okay. The nice thing is Marius can keep up with you, too, because he's actually got dots in Norse mythology from Old Crow.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Like, if we decide that I've committed diablerie in my past, can I get access to different disciplines?
Yes. Okay. That's fine. Even if you haven't committed diablerie in your past, it's okay to say that you have picked up another discipline that someone has taught you. I'm not assuming that you've lived in a vacuum for the past 50 years.
So how does that work?
You can just... So you've got 4 starting dots to put into disciplines. You can put those into not your in-clans if you want. I'm going to restrict it to not clan-specific disciplines, unless you'd like to buy it with experience.
Sure.
But we can say that, sure, you diablerized someone and you spent some XP to get a clan-specific out of them.
Sure.
Go you. But yeah, if you want to pick up a little bit of fortitude, too, go for it.
I was actually thinking a little protean, but...
10 XP will buy you the first dot of protean. 7 more will buy you the second dot of protean.
That's kind of expensive.
That is expensive. 2 dots of protean is super awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good shit. Isn't 1 dot just ag damage?
No, 1 dot is your eyes glow.
Oh, 1 dot is more shit. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's actually really good. Yeah. It's just very specific in how it's good.
Yeah, 2 dots, claws.
3 dots, sleeping time.
3 dots is one of the best long-term survivability powers in the game.
Yes. You want 3 dots if you can get it.
I mean, if you're really super excited about protean, you could also say, I'm a gangrel, and then you could have an inclan instead.
Yeah, no, I thought about that. But I really like the celerity presence thing.
Very legitimate. Mm.
But celerity presence plus protean seems really good.
So, tell me about 7th gen.
Sure. At 7th generation here, let me see the book. There's a second chart later in the book that shows you the elder levels. Of
right, the one before the third chart.
Yeah, that's the one. The one chart in the back of the book that does the charts.
Oh, the chart chart.
Yeah.
The chart of all the previous charts.
Charty chart chart.
It tracks all the charts across the course of the book.
Yeah. I believe that's called the index.
So is there really a difference between nature and demeanor?
Nature is how you regain experience. Demeanor is a reminder for you on a personality trait that you are attempting to roleplay for your character. If you do not want to fill in anything for demeanor, I don't care.
Okay.
Nature is what's important. It's the only way that you gain.
Nature is conniver.
Okay.
Except we've been doing it every day.
And I'm totally changing it because I've reread the book and it's supposed to be just when you achieve goals in line with your nature. So
right, it was always supposed to be like that. At the start of the game, you said, I'm going to give you one every day, and if it comes overpowering, I'm changing that.
Yeah, it was pretty overpowering, so I'm changing.
Oh.
I mean, the only one it's really going to affect is that guy over there, because willpower is what you roll to use.
I'm 100% on board with that because our nature's pretty much been completely ignored at this point. Because who the fuck cares how much willpower are you spending?
Well, we've been playing them out.
Yeah, natures. But in terms of like the reward cycle of playing your nature gets your willpower back, it's been unnecessary.
I think I'm also going to start enforcing what did you do to play up your nature to earn XP at the end of each session.
Okay.
As well. There's a little thing that I saw from Burning Wheel that was really cool. You earn some XP as part of the goals that you've set for yourself, but this game is less about goals and more about the morality play between characters. Mm-hmm. So, in any case, to answer your question about 7th generation, your maximum trait rating is 6.
Okay.
You start with 20 points in your blood pool, which is 2 full lines.
Yeah, so that's all of them.
Yep. And you can spend up to 4 blood points per turn.
What were the other generations? Just probably write those down real quick for me.
Oh, because you can lower yours?
Yes.
I will. 6th generation is... So the maximum just goes up by 1 for each generation, so that's easy to track. 6th is 7 dots, 5th is 8 dots, 4th is 9 dots.
Okay.
You can't get lower than 4. 20 blood points is your is max per pool at 7th. 30 blood points is max per pool at 6th.
Okay.
Next is 40.
Okay.
And then 4th generation is 50 blood points max.
Okay. And per turn?
At 7th generation, you spend 4 per turn.
Okay.
At 6th, you spend 6.
Okay.
At 5th, you spend 8. At 4th, you can spend 10.
Okay. So I need to play Marius smarter as well, with his intelligence up.
Good luck.
Yep.
Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Well, Marius is now much smarter than me as a player, so gotta give me a little bit of
credit. So the way that is going to work when you feel that your character has dots that exceed your own, you are always welcome to stop the scene and say, I feel that my character is better at this than I am. This is what I have on my sheet.
What can I do?
What's going on? And then you give me another opportunity to talk for a while, so I'm happy.
Good. Okay.
Think about this carefully.
It's all right. I got a little rageometer for Nick.
Right, I was going to say, really, it's just because I don't want Nick to flip the fucking table.
I'm going to flip your way.
Right?
There's a philosophical question to be answered. How much can I talk before this guy fucking freaks out?
Wow, I'm going to have shitty humanity.
What are you looking at?
5.
That's fine.
I don't think it's the end of the world, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. I run around with 4.
Turns out I put everything in courage.
Yeah, same here. It's okay, you're not going to freak out or run away.
Start out with 5 willpower, which I will then increase with freebie points because that's incredibly cheap.
So I'll just treat Anton as my squire, basically.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
That's fine.
Okay. Since I have my armor and... Yeah. And all that stuff, I can just be a... Under the guise of a...
I'm going to assume that Anton's been with you for probably about 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
At this point, long enough that he's no longer in the freaking out period of being a ghoul, and he's just kind of settled into, my job is to watch you during the day. I'm starting to figure out exactly what it is that you want from me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the quirks that you have noticed with Anton is he gets very protective of you when other people are attempting to serve you. It is his job to do that.
Okay.
But with this squire-knight relationship that you guys have, basically you're walking around masquerading as a knight.
Yes, exactly.
And with the squire relationship that he has, it's not too out of the ordinary. You guys definitely get some funny looks, and it's assumed that you're shacking up with him. But whatever.
Whatever.
You don't really care about that sort of shit.
No. He's my squire. Yeah.
He takes care of the mundane stuff.
Yep. Alright. I'm filling out his sheet right now.
Okay. Well, it's good. So, what can you tell me about his background while these two are still working on that stuff?
Give me a minute to finish filling out his sheet, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So, since I can spend freebie points on backgrounds...
For incredibly cheap.
For remarkably cheap. Alright. So I, too, am going to be 7th gen.
Okay.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I'll spend my 5 background points there, and then I'll spend another one on resources. Since
that's exactly what I did.
Since I steal shit. What's the difference between resources 1 and 2?
Resources 1 is you barely have enough money to scrape by and make any sort of basic purchases at all. Resources 2 means that you can live a comfortable lower class lifestyle.
I was going to say, what about 3?
You are at 3, so remember this is an age before there's such thing as a middle class.
Yeah.
At 3 you make the jump to essentially landless poor nobility.
Okay.
Where you've got enough money that banks are willing to loan you more money.
Sure.
At 3 I'm going to start asking you how you replenish your resources. Yeah.
I'm just going to go to 2.
You guys are welcome to, because we can gloss over some of the early part of how this coterie has kind of formed.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are welcome to pool your backgrounds. Domain, resources, and herd are backgrounds that can be pooled together. You are dedicating them to work together, and it means if there's ever a split, those dots disappear. Like if you guys run Bill's character off and he brings 3 dots of resources to the group, those 3 dots of resources disappear.
Sure.
But so long as you guys are all saying these are pooled, then it's an account that you have all have access to, or it's literally a chest of gold that you all have a key to,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. If you guys are going to pool your resources, pool your backgrounds, you need a background that links them together. That is usually the domain background, a place where all of this is linked up.
Which we don't have yet. Don't you? Because you're staying in the place?
He absolutely. So you guys don't have anything because they're still filling out their sheets.
Okay.
One of these two can look at me and say, I'd like to put a dot into domain.
Right.
A dot in domain is a small dilapidated manor house. 2 dots in domain is a functioning manor house, and I'll give you some mortal servants working there for free. 3 dots is a small farmstead, like a manor house and fields that can be tilled, and these people are actually like self-sufficing.
Mm-hmm.
4 and 5 dots, we're actually talking about like small sections of a city, or at 5 dots, you're talking about an entire locale. Colmar had 12 dots of domain in it, total. The prince controlled 5 dots of the domain. The other 7 dots of domain were chunked up between other people. We never got to the point where you guys were fighting with other people for grabbing domain. That was going to be a whole thing. Assholes.
Well, we got 1, though, from the Abbey.
No. You didn't.
Well, right. We did as
Andretti
a pool
did. Resource.
No, we have Andretti did. He was letting you use his. Those are all dots on his sheet.
Gotcha. Is giant an appropriate specialty for strength?
Giant?
Overpowering is probably what you're looking for.
Okay.
So I'm going to put... I guess I can just go look it up instead of asking you dumb questions.
He's asking him dumb questions.
No, he's trying to do a thing.
Well, I think you should keep asking him. I'm a bad person. So.
No, so one of us is terrible.
I legitimately don't know which one. I mean,
I'm leaving it out there.
Pick one.
I know which one. Just saying.
Specialty for intelligence. What would you recommend?
You're buying a lot of ints because you were sitting at 2, right?
Uh huh.
So you've had
Wow. All
right.
Yeah, I have to be the mage of the group, so.
So, no, you're not Gandalf. You just happen to have mystical potency.
Yes, exactly. So I'm Gandalf. Got it.
I'm coming back from the dead.
I hate you.
Marius the White.
I am kind of curious, though, with Scry. Do I have to either have their object or...
Or blood. You have to have their... If they're a vampire, their vitae works. If they're a human, blood does not work like vitae. It's just not powerful.
Okay.
But an object they owned. Something
do
of
I still have something of importance on either Wulfgar or Andretti?
I'm assuming that you do not.
They've got left in the castle. I'm kind of curious. Check in on them.
Where are they at?
And what happens if you scry on someone who's in torpor? Like, if they were scrying in on me?
See, so what scry does is it shows you, like, an actual view a few feet away from that person of where they are.
Yeah.
So if someone's in torpor, laying on a four-poster bed with red silk sheets in a well-lit room, you see them laying corpse still under the sheets.
And how about under a pile of rubble?
Black. You just see black. And it doesn't give you a location, and you can't move the camera around.
So, okay. So whenever Wolf...
So they just couldn't find you, and they probably just gave up on you. And since Goratrix didn't report in, hey, we found this guy's this guy, after about 100 years, chances are they're not looking for you anymore. They're just...
They're like, oh.
You believe, from what your friends in this splinter group of the Tremere have told you, that you are written off as dead. Celestine's not looking for you, she's never used the ritual to contact you since you've become active again. No one else has.
And I haven't contacted them.
Right. You have the power to contact Celestine. You still have the power to contact Andretti, because you know those rituals.
Yes.
But you'd have to actually do the ritual.
Nope.
I can't decide if I want to take Competitor or Gallant.
What's Gallant?
Gallant, flamboyant souls always seeking attention and a chance to be the brightest star. Regain a willpower point whenever you successfully impress another person.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Competitor is takes great excitement in pursuit of victory. Regain 1 point of willpower whenever you succeed at a test or challenge.
I'd say competitor to go with your Norse so background, your Northern Germanic religion, because it's always to succeed in battle to be the.
Yeah, but there's also the notion of the post. Like, you don't just succeed in battle; you go back to town. Get a big cup of mead and tell everybody about how fucking awesome you are.
There's nothing like weapon proficiency or anything.
That's true. It's that's just true.
Have dots in melee.
If you have, have dots in melee, can use melee weapons.
Good talk. Okay. Like, what, do I have to do a thing to use an axe instead of a sword?
No, the thing that comes close to weapon proficiency is you can take a specialty at four dots in swords, and then you get to reroll tens when you roll tens and you're wielding a sword.
Sure.
So you get even better with swords, but you don't get worse.
So, like, I glance briefly at the combat system.
Yep.
Why on earth would I ever use a sword instead of an axe?
Swords are... Two reasons. One, swords are easier to hide, and you can parry successfully with a sword. Okay. It's really hard to parry with an axe.
Okay.
Two, in-game reason, swords are the weapon of nobility. If you want to look noble or you want to look impressive, you have a sword.
Sure.
If you want to just look straight intimidating, you have an axe.
Okay. Sword it is.
That's important.
After doing a little bit of research, I'm changing the date. It's going to be 1348, not 1338.
Okay, sure.
For two reasons. One, the Black Plague just broke out. And that makes for a very interesting story.
Yes.
And two, I was looking up how I was going to build Anton. Turns out that Anton was an English bowman who was in the Battle of Crecy in 1346, which was the battle that made knights no longer important. That was the first battle where longbowmen just won the day. Yeah, where knights attempted charge after charge after charge, and the longbowmen were just like, nope, nope, nope. Mm-hmm. So he's an English longbowman who has sold his sword, his bow, as a mercenary after that battle. He was stuck across the channel in France and just started wandering around.
Now he's my squire.
And now he's your squire. But he does not maintain armor.
That's okay.
He's got some boiled leather, but both you and he know that that's not going to stop a sword thrust.
No.
That might stop some crazed peasant.
Yes.
Like attempting to stab him with a knife. He's not a swordsman at all. Okay. He's got a long... The two weapons that he seems proficient in are his longbow, which he upkeeps like a modern crazy man would upkeep his rifle and name it Vera.
Yep.
And he's got the 1300s precursor to a stiletto, which you've seen in use in war before. You give those, they're cheap to make. You give them to peasants that you've, like, sharpened their hose so they can bring knights down off their horses, and they stab knights through the visor or through the armpit with these long blades to kill knights in their armor because they can't get them out of their armor. It is a horrible, honorless weapon used to deal with nobility and fuck nobility.
Perfect.
That's how this dude rules. So
perfect. I like him already.
Yeah, that's Anton.
I will take the time to ghoul two horses or something for us for transportation.
Do you have any dots of animalism?
No. Does
then he doesn't need dots of animalism. Because
no.
Horses aren't afraid of him. And no, he will not develop animalism.
No, I mean to ghoul them. To have him ghoul the horse.
Right.
So I can just ride them to go with the whole... You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. That's fine.
Yes. So we'll have two ghouled horses, one for him, one
ghouls
for me.
Ghouls can make ghouls?
No, but he can mix his blood into some oats and then have Anton feed it to the horses.
Yes, so ghouled
horses.
Once
they get hungry enough, they'll go ahead and eat that.
Mm-hmm.
So, freebie points buying an ability cost 2 dots, or 2 points per rank. And you could buy up to any rank.
Up to 5. You cannot get 6s in anything without spending XP.
Okay. Do we want to buy a domain, or are we imagining ourselves as nomads?
I think we're nomads.
Okay.
I thought you would have a domain, but...
So I may well have abandoned it and follow you.
However you guys want to do it, you also could put a couple of dots in domain and have a home base that you range away from and then come back to from time to time.
That's why I asked the question out loud.
That's why I'm thinking, because you're the most established, and that came
from it sounds like this game is going to be very different from the last one. You're not going to be based in a specific city running Shadowrun missions for a specific guy. Like, you guys are out in the world kind of exploring the sandbox.
Yes.
So, I don't have any answers for that.
You think you can take a...
But if you guys do not have a set location, Bill, we're going to have a long talk about what your herd represents.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming, you said 1 dot of herd? So that's like 10 people.
That's like 3 people.
Is it 3? That's right, 2 dots is 10. It goes up exponentially.
3, 7, 10.
Yeah. In any case.
It's a few people.
Yeah, it's a few people, but it's a few people who don't do anything else for you, so it's weird that you just have these dudes following you around.
Yeah. I kind of envisioned it like, as we move around, I will just go charm somebody else.
I am comfortable with that being the rationale.
A girl in every port.
I'm comfortable with that being the rationale.
Like, I don't want followers. I want, something that represents my innate ability to just be like, hey.
That's legit.
Right.
And you've taken some dots in presence, right? Like, 1 dot in presence?
Yes.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Maybe 2. Okay. I haven't decided yet.
Well, 2 isn't going to do you good making friends.
No, it's true.
2 is where you go boo and they run off.
Yeah, true.
Which is good.
But so, yes.
No domain?
I think no domain.
I say domain, at least 1 dot, so we have a home base to roam out of.
I'm not putting any dots in domain. Party on.
What do you think?
I'm willing to put a dot in domain. Basically, it's that or it's going into... Well, I spent 6 of my... Phoebe points on medicine.
Uh-huh.
And 5 on strength, so I've got 4 left. That you can either get another dot of medicine and some resources, or I can divide it between resources and domain.
That's not a bad idea. Resources and domain. But if you have... okay. Because I just don't want us to be... I want us to have like a central location where we can retreat to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Somewhere where we know that's okay.
What does 1 dot of domain get me?
A small dilapidated manor house with no servants.
That sounds good to me. That sounds appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah. Or some equivalent there. Like, it could be a small, set of rude mud wattle huts. that you guys have crafted together with your bare hands, or a tiny cave network.
I love the, I like the dilapidated manor house.
That's like, very, very Shamase. Like, yeah, old, right. Kind of magically rich tradition.
Like, this was literally my house, and then I just left one day.
Right, and you forgot about it for 20 years and came back, and this is what's left. But you don't care when the rain falls on your head, so whatever.
Only as long as we're out of the sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go into the root cellar.
Yep.
Yeah.
One dot resources and more medicine because I don't have the intelligence. So I need the medicine.
You need the medicine?
Well, it's what flesh grafting is based off of.
What are the two things? It's medicine and what? What's the attribute?
Sometimes it's dex medicine and sometimes it's intelligence medicine. Dex medicine is for more combat shit, like curving someone's rib cage through their heart.
Which sounds more like what you do?
Well, if he has to. She has to.
Yeah. Respect the post-op.
I'm going to try and remember.
Well, she doesn't tell anyone she used to be a man, so it shouldn't be hard for any characters to remember.
Me as a player, sometimes
can
I
you
struggle
put with. Freebie at ability dots into something you haven't put dots into yet?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, just two each. It's a great way to go from zero to one.
So he was a longbowman. Okay.
And now XPs. Alright, I need to go look at...
Your E is upside down in your book, Evan.
Okay, good talk.
Is that...
Six? You don't remember that we've had this conversation before,
do
you?
I do remember having this conversation before.
I was asking him, not you.
No,
I had faith that everybody else at the table remember.
No, I don't.
My nickname in college was Schwa. The upside down E is the grammatical indication for the sound Schwa.
Ah.
No, Schwa.
Schwa.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh, shit. I meant to put some freebie points in willpower, and then didn't.
Oops.
Because this asshole is fucking domain.
It's okay.
I put freebie points in willpower.
You don't need willpower.
Because I only put 3 dots in courage.
Good man. Yeah, low courage. Are you going to stand and fight? Nope, I'm peacing out.
That's right.
All of you in the A.
That's right.
Oh, I have to completely reorganize this piece of crap now.
I'm taking that dot off medicine that I will buy with XP later. Put it into willpower, because it seems cheaper that way.
So does Anton seem especially competent with things other than the longbow?
Anton, you've picked up over time that that Anton is... He's certainly a man of few words.
Okay.
He likes drinking, he likes whoring, but, I mean, he's a lower class male in the Dark Ages, so that's legit.
Yeah.
He's very quick on his feet. He's a sneaky little git. He can pick locks.
Good.
With a little bit of expertise, like he is not an expert by any means, but he can do more to force a door than just push against it with his shoulder until it breaks.
Good.
He's not handy at crafts. Like, if you've been in a situation where, like, his longbow broke, and he was useless to you until you guys could go into town and he could have a town and he could have a woodcarver carve him a new one. You could hand him a U stick, and he'd be like, cool.
Okay. But he can use it well, but he just doesn't know how to...
He can use it well. Most Englishmen were trained to fire for range and not for accuracy. Over his time in the military, he has learned accuracy.
Good.
So he's a decent shot, single man with that bow. When he does have a bow, he treats it very well. He doesn't just wander around town with it. It stays unstrung and oiled wherever you guys are staying, unless he thinks he needs it. Beyond that, he's definitely a fighter. He knows how to use that long knife. He knows how to fight. He knows how to hold his own in a brawl. And he is very... He's got a keen eye.
Good.
You think he may have picked up some aspects from you.
Awesome. So. Very good, yeah. So, about rituals. How many years worth of rituals do I get?
Are there specific rituals that you're looking to pick up?
All of them.
Well, it depends on what's available, because I figure a lot of them aren't going to be available because I'm off with Gortrix's flunkies. Well,
or not assistants. Off with Gortrix's flunkies, you're just off.
Yes.
Like, you spend some time with Gortrix, and he's like, yeah, let's do this thing. We all got to keep moving because the Tremere haven't quite figured out that I'm yes. kind of breaking ties. We don't want them to know yet, so we're going to scatter.
Okay. And so I'll just grab some books with me to study, I guess, as I'm going, I guess.
Okay.
When we come back together, I'll trade them out for different books.
Sure. That's fine.
Yeah.
You have picked up a ritual to... It's not necessarily, like, communicate with Gortrix, mm-hmm. but it is communicate with a member of House Gortrix. You're not sure how Gortrix formulated this thing, but the way it works is him or one of his flunkies, when they are available, will answer the phone.
Okay, and what level?
So it's a good way to pick back up with them. Communicate with Kindred Sire is a level 1 ritual.
Yes.
So this is a level 3 ritual.
Okay. Communicate with Gortrix and Flunkies, okay.
Communicate with House Gortrix. Okay.
I do remember House Gortrix. They are the ones that sent that ritual.
That's right.
Okay. Honestly, I don't remember which rituals. Much of the rituals.
I've got them all right here.
Okay. What would you recommend? So, with my 5 dots, I know I'm going to be traveling about, so I'm going to want things that help me assist me with that.
You've already got Defense of the Sacred Haven?
Correct.
Let's see. Deflection of Wooden Doom?
Nope, I don't have that.
That protects you from being staked.
I'll take the Stone of Heart or whatever instead.
Heart of Stone?
Yeah, Heart of Stone for that.
Sure, you can pick up Heart of Stone.
That's what, 3rd or 4th?
4th.
Okay. And I'll have that active.
Okay.
Just makes my soldier rolls more awkward, so I just have my ghoul take care of those things if I can. Minus Intimidate.
No, plus Intimidate. Minus... I'll look it up.
Yeah, sure.
The other one I would suggest you pick up is Recure of the Hungry.
That's level 2, right?
That is a level 2 ritual.
And since I'm going there, yeah. Okay, Recure of the Homeland, okay. 9... It's not even a year's worth yet. Okay.
But you don't have a lot of time to just be sedentary and develop rituals.
True.
I will let you have one more ritual.
Because you said like 50 years, right?
Yeah, but a lot of that time has been spent wandering. Like, you will literally spend years wandering without a lead on where to go next to try and find your mortal family before you find the next clue, the next piece of whatever you needed.
Okay. What would you recommend, then?
Pick one of the following.
Okay.
Mirror of Second Sight.
Okay. That helps me see what's true, right?
You look through people, you look into it at people's reflections, and it shows you their true form.
Okay.
Bone of Lies.
Okay. Helpful. Make people tell the truth.
But after 10 uses, it's used up, and then you have to make a new one.
You gotta go to a graveyard, dig it up, yeah.
Don't you need the bones of a saint?
No, you need the bones of a man
200 years old.
And executed.
Okay.
Bones of an executed man that's at least 100 years old.
So I'll go dig some...
But, I mean, it's easy in the Dark Ages. Super easy to find that.
Yeah.
And then... Let's see, you've already got Burning Blade. You've already got Blood Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Merits and flaws are optional. Are you using them?
Depends on the merit or flaw. Some of them I'm going to say no to. What do you have in mind?
Huge size.
That's fine. It gives you an extra health bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I have
3 more points to spend. I think. I got 7 points for merits and flaws, right?
No, you get 0 points for merits and flaws. Those come out of your freebies.
Oh.
You can take up to 7 points worth of flaws to give you extra freebie points. Okay. Merits cost freebies. So if you're out of freebie points, you need to take 3 points worth of... because huge size is worth 3 or 2.
4.
4. You need to take 4 points worth of flaws if you want to be able to afford that one.
Okay. Or I might just shift around my freebies and put some XP, because I still got a big pile of that.
Must be nice.
As for a third option, I could suggest, or another option, Cling of the Insect might be good. Flesh of Fiery Touch.
Oh.
Which is very, very limiting. If anyone touches you, they take damage. Not just unwanted touches.
But I have Ward versus Kindred for that. Well, anyone, no.
Won't that kill anyone you feed off of?
No, they have to touch me.
I'll have to reread it in the book on specifically how it would work. But it would complicate your life, certainly. Did you get Pavis of the Foul Presence?
Yep, I already have that. Okay. I'll make that standard that I cast that when I wake up.
Okay. Do you have Principal Focus of Vitae Infusion?
Yes.
Okay. Domino of Life?
Yes.
Got that already?
Mm-hmm.
Talisman?
Yep.
Yeah, he made a sword as talisman.
That's right.
Blood Contract.
Not bad.
You don't have any true friends, so Escape to the True Friend would be a good idea. Have any friends!
I have a friend. His name is Cristobal, but I ain't going to see him.
You think he's still your friend?
Well, I'm still his friend. Things haven't changed for me. I've been in torpor, you know?
I still love you! I can't quit you!
Yeah, it's who I consider a friend. Not necessarily that they consider me a friend. But no, I'm not going back to that. No, definitely,
That'll work.
Definitely Wolfgang. He's definitely my friend.
Totally.
Yeah.
He would love to see you again.
Just pop up and say, hi. Stab. Bye.
What do you think about Hunted as a flaw? Oh. You are pursued by a fanatical witch hunter who believes, perhaps correctly, that you are a danger to humanity. It is the Inquisition, and my character is highly conspicuous. Or something about how I'm now enemies.
But he's thinking about how it's going to mess with his plot. So.
No, not specifically how it's going to mess with our plot. The flaws that put an onus of building specific characters into the game for the guy running the game can certainly complicate things. And I have been bitten a number of times by people who've taken things like the Hunted flaw and then spent the first session killing that guy. Yeah. I go find the guy who's hunting me. I kill him. I win.
So you have to make the guy.
Yeah, hunted is how many dots worth of flaw? How many
4
points? It's a 4-point flaw.
Yeah.
At 4 points, you were not hunted by some dude within the Inquisition. You will be hunted by your name is known to a Grand Inquisitor, or
there is an organizational force against me.
Correct. It's not. Yeah. It's not some guy.
I'm that giantess who roams the countryside. That's clearly in league with the pagans and the devil.
Right. Like going into any large community anywhere, you are risking your existence and those of people around you. There are literally wanted posters up with your name on it if you take 4 points worth of hunting.
Oh, shit.
How do you guys feel about that, honestly?
Seems like it might make things challenging.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying no.
Are you looking for
So can I just write down, sword and armor
mental
and shit?
Or physical block?
I'm going to assume that you've stolen those from people before game started.
That I targeted a mortal for embrace, but someone else got there first.
So,
that's not anything I care about. Yeah, the only other thing is basically enemies either in the Inquisition or in the Chamasay.
So how do I map armor to the Dark Ages? Like, is a Kevlar vest chain?
So you can have 1 dot of additional soak for 0 dex penalty, and then for every for every dot of additional soak you want above that, it's one more dex penalty.
So one dot.
I'm just shifting around my freebie points.
Padded leather.
To pay for my huge size.
Okay.
So what
basically
would you...
it cost me 10 XP.
Kay. What would you recommend for the last ritual out of those possibles?
Sorry. Take Mirror of Second Sight.
Okay, that's second or third?
That is a third level ritual.
Okay.
Or...
that allows me to see, like, Nosferatu, right?
It could.
Obfuscated.
Not if they are obfuscated to hide themselves. If they are making themselves look like someone else, yes.
Okay.
You see their true form. But if they are cloaking themselves so they are trying not to be noticed, you'll just continue to look past them with your mirror.
Okay.
Mostly because we're, you know, going to a place where this could be a useful bargaining thing for you. The thing that lets him make scrolls of rituals could be an interesting thing to have.
Oh.
Yep, it sure could. But Andretti wasn't teaching that to anybody.
But presumably Gortrix knows somebody.
Yeah, but there was a rationale behind why Andretti wasn't teaching it to anybody. I think Gortrix is going to stick with it.
Okay.
Tell me about spears. They just seem like a very dramatic weapon.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting into stuff there's just no system for in the base book. So in real life, the benefit to a spear is how difficult it is for other people to mess with you because you can keep them at arm's length.
Right.
More than arm's length with your spear. I think what I will say for a spear is you get,
I'm 100% on board if you just want to say spears deal X lethal damage.
Yeah, how much damage does a sword deal? Should be 3 lethal. Or strength plus 3 lethal.
If it is, you would know better than I.
Take that as a brouhaha.
You guys also have options for background outs and allies, mentors, and contacts as well. Not that it's probably too late to worry about.
Swords are strength plus 2, axes strength plus 3, stakes strength plus 1.
Swords are strength plus 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Make your spear strength plus 2. Make it just like a sword. My inclination is to try and make system around it, but I won't remember that system, and things will get awkward. Can I borrow your pencil for a second, please? Nope, never mind. I wrote this in pen. I'm done.
Oh, a specialty for intelligence. Sorry. I almost forgot about that. What would you recommend? Because you had analytical, right? And that worked out pretty well.
That worked out really well.
I don't know that Marius is an analytical guy. Even at a higher intelligence. Like that. I think that intelligence is showing like the world learning that he's had, like how well traveled he is and how much life experience he's picked up. So reflective or well traveled could be.
But I think they have something for that, like book knowledge or something.
Sure, yeah, book knowledge is fine.
Maybe it's like, okay.
Oh, I guess I need to put some specialties on some stuff. Like melee, I guess, is sword.
Or axe.
Sword.
No, you took a sword.
I'm just saying there's no reason to ever take a sword.
Except for looking fancy.
Okay.
Which has value in this time frame.
Fair enough. I got a fancy
sword. It's a little harder to sell the hey, let's just be buddies, and you give me some money if you just straight look like a murderous thug with an axe. Or maybe it's easier. I don't know.
I'd say more of a sword for you. I'd say more of a sword for you.
That's what he has.
That's what I wrote down.
There's this fantastic travelogue in the mid-1800s, or 1700s, talking about this this guy from England traveling across Germany, and or what later becomes Germany. And he's wandering through, like, these villages, and he's talking about all of these people with, like, wild beards with long knives at one side of their belt and axes at the other, and they just draw their knives and axes and kill each other whenever they get into fights. I've truly left civilization and entered the lands of wild barbarians.
Nice.
So, if somebody has an axe, that's what I think of. Just a fucking crazy man with a beard and an axe. Uncle Eastbound, the magic card.
So I can take fortitude. I'm just paying dots times 7. To,
right. First dots 10, and then dots times 7 to buy more dots.
So expensive. I don't get any extra XP for working my way up to Gen 7.
No.
How did you get there?
Gen 7. How backwards. Far did you... Yeah,
don't ask, don't tell.
How far did you climb up? Like, what gen are you thinking you started at? Did you climb up once, like you were 8th gen, or like...
Probably... Well, so I actually spent dots from 7th, or from 12th. But because we talked about me being his grandsire, maybe.
Well, so you... But you spent your background dots on that, yeah. Right? So that's fine. Your background dots determined what your generation was.
So I probably crawled up 2 or 3.
Like, okay. So, yeah, if you were his grandchild, you would have been 8th, because he's 6th. I think he's 6th. Look this asshole up.
Lucius?
Luscious.
I thought you said he was ancient from the Romans.
So age?
He was old.
Age? And
he could have been embraced by a 5th gen 2 billion years ago.
Right.
Like
he was 6th generation.
The Earth was a molten core.
So I guess that puts me up 1. Maybe 2.
So you could have diablerized multiple times. You just didn't diablerize people of lower generation. Sure. That's fine.
Right. Which get increasingly hard to find.
As you eat them all.
Right. So did that talk you out of some more XP?
No. Didn't talk me into any more XP, certainly.
I really want a 4th dot of dexterity, but I'm like 7 short.
I'm gonna spend blood at the start of every combat round.
I'm gonna.
Yeah, you're gonna be a monster with this, are you? That's 4 actions a turn? Or 3?
You get your everyman action, and if he's got 3 dots of celerity, he gets 3 celerity actions on top of that, if he spends the 3 blood for it.
Yeah.
Or those are just straight 3 extra dots of dex.
Right. Which counts for initiative, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to miss Lamoth's Armor of Terra. Just to reduce all wound penalties by 1 is pretty fucking
right. I need to find...
You're going to be able to simulate that eventually with flesh crafting by just giving yourself basically a rhino hide, but you're going to lose dots of dex for it.
Right. On the upside now, I can spend blood to heal myself, so I'm not just wounded all the time.
Right.
So what is your character's name?
Alfwin.
Alfwin?
Yes.
I don't suppose you could fix this, could you?
A specialty for intimidation is internet.
Oh, your face?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to get on MySpace. I'm going to call you fat. That's I'm going like to put up a Photoshop dot. Of you.
No. And it's two to fix superficial wounds.
I'm taking a specialty in veiled.
One is just changing myself superficially.
You can change other people, but you can do things like... you can change the non-living tissue, like hair and fingernails. You can change eye color with it.
Does a specialty in veiled threat work for the second dot of presence? The boot.
No, it specifically says for the second dot of presence, this is an overt, like, showing that I'm a supernatural monster. You reveal your fangs, your eyes flash red, you hiss, your hackles go up.
Sure.
Bridget.
That's fun.
Yeah, I can straight up improve your appearance.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
So most times if I'm trying to convince somebody of something, like, charisma intimidation might be a thing.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
I found a shamisen willing to help me with that.
If I'm not trying to presence them into doing something.
Right. I can change your vocal cords so you sound like someone else. Like, turns out fleshcrafting is fucked up.
Yes. Could you actually change my appearance so I look a little bit different? So people won't recognize me as
So here's the thing. Fair warning.
Yes.
I mean, you can absolutely do that.
Okay.
Because Alfwin is not lower generation than you are,
uh-huh.
You will heal over time the changes made to vicissitude like you would aggravated damage.
That's fine, because I'm healing my damage anyways. The scars.
No. The scars are permanently part of you.
But can't they fix those scars?
Yes. So specifically, under vicissitude, what it says is changes made with vicissitude are permanent if the person using them is of lower generation than you are. Otherwise, the potency of your own blood tries to reset you to the state that you were in beforehand. So if we're talking about like superficial scars, that's cool. What you finding?
So it says vampires of equal or lower generation can choose to heal the effects of vicissitude as though they were aggravated wounds.
Look at you looking through the rulebook and quoting stuff at me. I'm so proud of you, man. Sure, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so I can get my appearance back.
Well, increasing your appearance
is really talking about
it's actually restoring my
increasing your appearance from the dots how they are on your sheet, putting another dot of appearance on there mechanically is a difficulty 9 task for him to do,
mm-hmm.
for her to do. If she fails, nothing changes. If she botches, you lose another dot of appearance. If you are down to 0 dots of appearance, she cannot attempt it on you again, unless you are just spending the XP to buy that dot of appearance. You can also just say, I'm having the shamisen change my appearance, and then just spend XP. And then you can just spend XP to change your appearance, and that's fine. That's a rationale for you just changing your appearance dots. And then dots don't need, or points don't need to be, dice okay. don't need to be rolled, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, the only people who always heal vicissitude is Nosferatu.
Gotcha. And
you can make Nosferatu pretty, but they'll always heal him. They don't get a choice. Let's fuck them.
Sad we don't have a Nos in the party. Oh well.
I thought about it, but I basically just played a Nos with wings, so.
I'll just plan on a high character turnover. One of you will be a Nos eventually.
Okay. Hans. I wonder where that bastard's at.
You might run into him again.
Hans, my friend!
What? Who are you? So, reinforced clothes basically give me a free soak die with no cost, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to take my big leather coat full of
dirt.
Pouches of dirt, yeah.
Yep.
So what would the roll be? It's so, for doing that, that's not the dex one. I'm curious about vicissitude and how it works.
Okay. So you want me to fuck around with your face?
I sure want you to fuck around with his face.
Okay. Increasing one's appearance trait is a difficulty 9. A vampire must spend an additional blood point for each dot of appearance increased beyond the natural total. A bond reduces it.
That sounds fun.
So my natural total was 3 until it was removed by 1.
Stop it. You're hurting Jesus. Your natural total is whatever is on your sheet right now. It was reduced permanently due to aggravated damage. Done. The end. Period. Full stop.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's 9.
I'm rolling intelligence medicine. Diff 9.
So I've lost track of how I did it, but if I move an appearance dot to manipulation, I'm not cheating at this point, right? Because the math would still have worked out somehow.
Yes. Yep.
Well, each success increases or reduces the attribute by 1.
So you have to get 1, and then... so basically 2 at a minimum to increase it by 1.
Read that one more time?
Yeah.
Okay. Each success increases or reduces the attribute by 1.
Including the first one.
Okay.
Including the first. I could probably spend a willpower on that and make it gorgeous. I don't know that I care enough to do that.
Probably don't. But I'm willing to make the roll.
Well,
how much do you trust my ability to craft flesh? Probably a lot more if you knew that I was once, like, a hairy midget man.
I am curious, but from more from the standpoint of trying to make myself not appear like Marius, to more help with my... Does that make sense?
Sure. I'm pro you appearing like Marius.
Yeah? Just walking around like Marius normally?
Like, fuck you. I'm Marius. I'm back. I took a nap for a while. Remembered some shit.
This is the second coming of Marius, bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think I should just do that to, at all? So, okay, just make the roll to remove the scars, then. I'll be Marius without the scars. Well, the scars make me kind of badass, though.
So we're not rolling dice right now.
No, I'm thinking from a... No, I'm not saying roll the dice. Okay. I'm saying...
I've been metagamer. Metagamer?
Yeah, I know.
Alright.
Why does Marius not want to have the scars on his face so badly? Can you articulate that?
No, Marius wouldn't necessarily care about the scars. I'm more thinking from the standpoint of more keeping it so that people don't recognize Marius. But I'm thinking, Nick made a good point in saying that, well, it might be good to have people recognize it if they do. Because that might be good for a good story. And I'm kind of liking that, actually. And
even intelligent, is Marius subtle?
No. No, Marius doesn't.
How many dots of subterfuge does he have?
Two.
More subtle than most.
Yeah.
Terrifies me. Subtle when he chooses to be. Yeah. Marius.
Alright. My last 4 XP going towards the third dot in Brawl. I now have 0 XP. And a complete character. Oh wait, let's talk Sire. I need to have one of those.
You do.
I'm a 7th generation Shamaset. Now.
What was his name?
Did you start out in 8th generation Shamaset? Did you start out in 12th generation
Shamaset? Wow, I worked my way up. The old-fashioned way. By eating. probably 8th or 9th. Okay. Committed Diablerie at least once. I got fortitude from somewhere, and I sure as hell didn't sit down and learn.
Okay. Probably a Ventru. A lot of Ventru Shamaset conflicts. The region that you guys are in right now. Alright, fair enough.
We have no particular opinion, so if there's an NPC you really want to work in from your vast list of Shamaset that you made.
Soren Bradovich it is.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
That guy had Chowder all over the place.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. I like that. They'll definitely make me more interested in you.
Not that you necessarily know that.
No, I don't. Not yet. No.
And I'm Luscious's child, right? That's where we decided.
Grandchild.
Grandchild.
S-O-R-E-N?
S-O-R-N.
Okay.
Wow.
Sorn.
That'll be nice.
And I'm all fucked up. Sorn was the one we were plotting with who wanted to create war, or was that Sorn's father?
That was Yulian.
Okay. Did Taylor survive?
So you can be your sire, that's fine.
Yeah, Taylor's my dad.
Okay.
So Julian's my brother, then?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know Julian, though? How old are you?
I think we decided
about
like
100. About 100, so he was embraced right around the same time. Yeah, he was Eden. He was embraced right around the same time that things were going down in Colmar. At our last session.
So
stuff that you guys did not see. Sorn had left Stuttgart, but Sorn had holdings all the way back up into Carpathia. He was a big, he was a big deal. You didn't know it, but he was a big deal.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. So.
Sorn in my head is now Vigo, just since she's at Carpathia. Moving on.
Yeah, we're good. So more than likely, whoever you used to be, you were probably another revenant, part of another revenant family.
I was Julian Bradovich.
That's a little too Inception for me.
Yeah. We have to go.
I traveled back in time and embraced myself.
There's a clan that can do that. I hate those guys.
Of course there is.
We will not see them in this game. They do not exist.
This game is so fucked up.
You don't even know. Time vampires! Shut up.
God.
Time vampires.
Sometimes I think I don't smoke enough weed for this.
Yeah, I don't know that the Sorn makes sense, because he was leaving the area right around that.
Just on the way out, he had a snack.
Yeah, it just, it doesn't track.
I was slightly older.
Well, he...
He's 115 years old.
He could have been, like, one of Julian's children from the whole Black Forest thing that escaped.
That's true. No, because nowhere in Nick's discussion of his background did he say, I was a militant embrace, press ganged into being a monster in the forest to kill people at my sire's behest. Those guys were not embraced for their intelligence or their capability to think beyond, I am bloodbound and I'm doing what I'm told. So, they didn't survive.
What about one of Soren's other children? I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, the time frame's the same, no matter who the sire is.
Yeah. So, I mean, your two alternatives are your sire could have been Julian Bradovich, or your sire could have been I Don't Care, and we'll just come up with a name. And he or she is either dead or they've gone back to the mountains. Because you don't have any dots on your sheet for that person, so unless you would like to see them in-game and see a relationship that builds into something.
Not particularly. As far as I'm concerned, my character changed her entire appearance, changed her name, and went, you know, fuck off to and all you.
Okay. Your sire's name was Hogarth. H-O-G-A-R-T-H.
Hodor. I just needed some more Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name you actually told me, because now I just remember right there.
Hogarth.
Nope, it's Hodor now.
Hogarth, like, which was a real name, as opposed to Hodor, which was...
The name of the boy in the Iron Giant.
Among other things.
It's a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
You should watch it, and if you don't cry, you're dead inside.
Okay. I cry pretty easily, actually.
Really?
Fairly emotional.
I didn't cry.
You're dead inside.
Really?
You just had this conversation! God damn it, man, pay attention!
He didn't really die, though, in the end. Remember? They're all, like, rolling back to, like, Spoilers. Iceland or something.
Well, I guess now I don't need to watch it.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, fuck you.
It's not like my two-watch queue is short, so...
No.
Yeah, by the way, Kaiser Sose is Tyler Durden.
Nice.
I would watch that movie.
I really would, too.
I would watch that movie.
Holy crap. He just made up the whole thing where he killed some cartel drug lords and then
right.
made his own one-man crusade against right. bad crime. His bad, abusive father personality kicking in. And now he does a lot of meth and he blows things up with soap.
You just needed to roll dice, didn't you?
As loud as you possibly could, right next to the microphone. Cool, good job, man. So what do we have left to fill in?
Zero. I'm done.
I'm good.
Alright. So.
It's 10:06.
I know. Okay. We need to talk a little bit about how you guys got together, how tight-knit you want this coterie to be before we kick off. Do you guys want to have just met? You're still working out your distrust of each other, because all vampires kind of innately distrust others, because your beast is constantly saying, I want to be the only vampire in the world. Why are you hanging out with them instead of eating them? Do you want to still be working through that? Do you want to get to the point where you guys have enough of a background and history with each other that there's a modicum of trust?
I think that's where we should start.
Yeah,
I'm not convinced the other piece is very interesting.
Kicking it.
Because you've been telling that story quite a long time now.
Yeah.
Across multiple
Plus,
campaigns.
If we start telling that story, it will just devolve into the ways that we don't trust one another.
Right.
And then we'll all make well, new characters.
So, again. True story. We're
and as much
vampire,
fun as...
We're going to get to that point.
That's fair, but I wouldn't play... I'd like to not start there.
All right.
Because as much fun as I have putting dots on sheets...
Yeah. Right.
You know. I don't know about you guys. Like, if you really want to.
So we've got the basis of how you guys ran into each other in the first place. Marius literally wandered onto Alfwin's lands one day looking for traces of the line of the Brodovich family that he used to belong to, the Revenant line he used to be a part of. And I'm going to assume that you two share that in common, that at one point you were either a Brodovich or another Revenant family. There's like six of them out there. But that you were a member of one of these Revenant families, but don't have any recollection of him, but were maybe able to point him in the right direction. Is this, like, looking for your family, is that a thing that you still want to be doing, or is that something you want to have put behind you?
So when I get there, I find out there's no one there, basically.
Right.
So it's going to be put on the back burner, as when, well, maybe I'll find leads later on.
Sure. So, essentially, this guy shows up, he's asking questions, at first, all he can tell you is that he's not a Shamisei, but he was taken from the Shamisei, and...
I'll lie and say I'm Caitiff or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it sounds like what you were saying before, Nick, is this is an impetus for Alfwin to be like, well, this is better than me just sitting around, right, flesh-crafting my hand into extra digits, and then making those digits go away. So, sure, yeah, I'll follow you.
Flesh-crafting my thumb up my ass.
Yeah. It's just there permanently.
You really need to figure out what's going on in your pants.
I feel like he's got a really good handle on that. And the less we know, the better.
There really is a handle, too.
Thank you. Let's go from implication to just flat-out discussion.
Yeah.
He can make it wiggle.
That's my speed.
You don't make a handle
wiggle.
Oh, he can.
Jesus Christ. I've got a video.
You gotta jiggle the handle.
Nice.
Yeah. I really do. It's a terrible video, but I'm going to show it to you.
I'm excited? No. It's terrible. I'm not excited.
I found it on Reddit. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm in.
All right.
Show me.
I will after game. So, I guess, Nick, let's make sure I've got this right in my head, that essentially Alfwin had just kind of reached a holding pattern. No, I'm not going with you back into the mountains.
Right.
I'm my own person. In fact, I'm so my own person, I'm not even my own man anymore. Look, boobies! Yay!
Yeah. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do all these great things. So then I'm sitting around for a couple decades. I should go do that stuff.
Right. This guy shows up at your door with his soggy ghoul looking for traces of his mortal
soggy
family. It's raining. It's Northern Europe. It's raining always.
Okay.
It's the Dark Ages. So
it rained more then.
It's true. So essentially you decide, well, this is better than nothing. I'll help you.
Right.
Find these guys.
His cause seems interesting. He seems competent.
Yep. Ish. The two of you can go gallivanting off and find that, you know, you find your family's ancestral lands where they actually were, the farmstead that you are fairly certain you grew up on, and the fact that this entire area is empty. Like, there's some squatters that have shown up, and through whatever means of interrogation you guys want to use, even if it's just a polite conversation and buying them a beer, what you find out is that the people who used to live here abandoned this place.
I don't have dots in polite conversation.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
You just grab them by the head and fleshcraft them a new mouth to speak out of. You will talk, but not from that face. From this one.
Or I could just dominate and say, hey, talk.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys can... Turns out you can push peasants around all day, and I'm not going to make you roll dice for it. That's okay.
Are you sure?
What you can eventually put together after essentially a year of trying to track all this information down is about the same time that the Shamisei went through the migration. Whatever was left of your family line out here went with them. So you know where they're at now. You just don't know if you want to go there looking for them.
Yeah,
or what benefit that would give to you. But so, they're off in the northern Carpathians somewhere where the eldest of the clan calls home.
So do Revenant families... Does every member of a Revenant family live forever?
No. They have extended lifelines. They live for maybe 150, 200 years. But Revenants will eventually die of old age.
Okay.
Unless they're proper ghoul. Like, the vitae their system creates can't sustain them forever. If they are taken on as a ghoul and given someone else's vitae once a month, they will live forever so long as they have that, and then they can be embraced. Most Revenants just die. They reach old age and die. 10% of Revenants in a Revenant family will get ghouled. 10% of those will get embraced.
Okay. Because I was just thinking the logistics of that.
Yeah.
If you have Revenant bloodlines, they have kids who grow up, reach maturity, stop aging.
Revenants have a much lower birth rate than normal humans do. Also, they're broken. They're very broken in the head. They generally don't start on humanity. They start on some twisted path of morality based on which bloodline they're from. So at the best, you get the guys out of Deliverance. And at the worst, you get an entire family of the Chainsaw Massacre. Like the guy from Chainsaw Massacre. Just completely crazed. I've flesh-crafted myself, huge bulky body, and I go around hatching people to death. Because, you know, chainsaws haven't been invented yet. So Revenants
we'll flesh-craft them.
Right. But most Revenant families get flesh crafting, like that's one of the disciplines they develop. They get the first dot or maybe two. So they're really terrifying off the handle, not well in the head. That's the shamans need to guide them every step of the way. So in any case, you guys will find that, you know, find nothing there, and then from there you reach the point where you don't have a specific goal in mind. Perhaps you're traveling back to Alfwyn's estate to figure out what to do from there. When this poor bastard jumps you guys. Aha! Ho, travelers! I'm going to kill your horses and eat your hearts unless you give me your money. I think this is very reasonable. And then, oh crap, they're vampires.
Right.
Yeah. Oh crap, that one's 8 feet tall with a 9-foot spear.
Yeah. Yeah, in retrospect, I don't know if I
would have. I thought she was just really close up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm imagining it's probably more along the lines of evening has just fallen.
Right.
Yeah.
Alfwyn has wandered off into the woods to go, hunting or something like that. While Marius is sitting at camp with his ghoul, they're kind of taking care of the horses. And you're like, oh, look, they've got horses. They're probably humans. No problem. This guy's, like, sharpening his sword. They're probably bedding down for the night as opposed to just getting up.
Yeah, right.
And you burst into the clearing and you're like, all right, let's do this!
Yeah.
And then Alfwyn comes wandering in. Oh, big fucker!
Right.
I'll make you bigger, you come from, don't they?
That seems legit.
And it goes from there. There's moments of comedy and violence. And then you all end up fast friends.
Like you do.
Mm-hmm. I love you guys, man. Yeah.
So, aside from sitting in Alfwyn's rundown ramshackle house, what do you guys see yourselves getting up to? You've broken, the Anarch Revolt is in full swing. Yes. You guys have, you've heard broken with your various clans. You know that there is this push against elder control just by sake of age, that they've lost touch with the modern age, they don't know how to handle things.
We could set out to be the A-team. Right.
Yeah.
Other young vampires are like, I can't get rid of my elder. Like, yeah, we can.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm 100% on board with who you just throwing ourselves fully behind breaking up the control of the elders.
Yeah.
Probably by killing the elders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because tasty.
Yeah.
So what plan do you guys have in place for that? Or would you like game to pick up having you guys one evening sat around the table being like, no, I'm fully about just breaking the control of the elders. Let's start wandering from city to city and just finding neonates who need their elders killed and doing that for them. And then the very next night, we can just start game from there. You guys are like, well, now what? And we can figure that out. That's cool. Or if you guys would like to have a plan, you can formulate one.
Well, I think we need to find clients and then we formulate plans.
Yeah.
And I need cigars. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch like 80 hours of the A-Team this weekend. Right.
Ms. T.
Which is also a stripper name.
On gold chain and mohawk. Two mohawks. If you know what I'm saying. Mohawk and lohawk.
Nice. Yeah. I was going one on each tit.
What?
That's a hairy-ass woman, dude.
You said it was a woman.
You are into some weird... It's a hairy-ass man, dude. You're into some weird stuff.
Because that would be the weirdest thing about her. Yeah, we could start there.
Okay.
Well, somebody else has a better idea.
No, 100% pro A-team. Or we could do Get Smart. I Dream of Genie, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, I do need to pick up some more books. Books seems to be a big thing for Marius.
That's true. If we kill some Tremere...
Yes.
Sorry.
I
feel like we're going to have some sort of a wow rolling system invoked for who gets to Diablerize when. Like,
probably dependent on the skill set of the person we kill.
Maybe.
I'll be very insistent about Diablerizing Tremere if it comes across.
Like Tremere himself?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Considering that's how you got his power. Sure. Yeah.
Just remember, when you Diablerize Tremere, you're Diablerizing everyone he's ever Diablerized.
Yeah. I don't think that's how it works, but it's funny.
All right.
I like it.
We good?
I think we're good.
All right.